So it ran for 15 days in the High Court and then 2 days in the Court of Appeal. But essentially, it arises out of the use of a particular chemical known as an isocyanate, which is a commonly used chemical in the, we say, the manufacture of spray foam and other such type of products. But it's highly dangerous, and it's a well-known irritant to the respiratory system. And unfortunately, in this case, when Patrick and Anita employed the first name defendant, Mr. Brendan McGee, he installed the product in a way which left them exposed to the chemical. And as a consequence, they suffered disastrous and catastrophic respiratory injuries. So effectively, they have a situation whereby their larynxes are compromised forever. And every breath that they take is now a difficult one. And any exertion that they require, which might, you know, put extra pressure on their lungs and increase the flow of oxygen over their larynx, introduces paroxysms or spasms of coughing. They're highly sensitized to normal smells and odors, such as perfumes or car fumes or any normal scents or odors that you and I would have no difficulty with, causes extreme difficulty for them. So in terms of, you know, their ability to continue with what would be regarded as a normal life, it's utterly compromised going forward, and unfortunately it's a permanent situation.
And the description used for the injuries sustained by Patrick Duffy in particular were described as catastrophic, and the three-judge Court of Appeal ruled that wasn't necessarily unfair.
No, it wasn't. I mean, the High Court heard the case, for, as I say, for 15 days, so the High Court judge, in making his determination sometime later, was more than familiar with all of the evidence that was given by all of the parties. He had 15 days to visually see Patrick and Anita. He could see the difficulties that they were in. He heard evidence from Professor Conor Burke, who is a well-known expert in that field. And Professor Burke described the Duffy injuries as in the top 1% of damages to larynxes that he's ever seen.
A lot of talk in Donegal in another context about regulations, particularly when it comes to building. Does this suggest there needs to be a look at regulations and guidelines in terms of the use of this particular chemical and the way in which insulation work is carried out?
Absolutely. Not in the sense that there needs to be further regulations, but there needs to be adherence to the regulations. And people who are working with these type of chemicals need to be very aware that A, they're highly, highly dangerous, B, that they can have disastrous effects upon anybody who is exposed to them, and C, that there are rules and regulations and there are laws there already in relation to their use. So in this particular case, unfortunately, the defendant, Mr. McGee, when he was installing this product, wasn't aware or didn't make himself aware or didn't make the Duffys aware of what he was doing. So as a consequence, they were left in the house. Patrick arriving later on that evening, but Mrs. Duffy, Anita, and their child being in the house all day during the exposure or during the treatment of their house and the utilization of this particular product, which as a consequence then left them exposed and which has left them with permanent debilitating injuries for the rest of their lives. So it's really, really unfortunate. And I suppose one of the top things that has come out of this case as well, apart from the vindication of the Duffys in the High Court and in the Court of Appeal, is that the court has ruled or drawn to the attention of solicitors and their experts that you cannot bring to court what might be perceived as being a hired gun. And the defendant in this case used a toxicologist from America, whom the High Court discredited completely and didn't allow any of his evidence. And the Court of Appeal affirmed that in making this ruling, that it's very important that in the defense of litigation, that people who bring expert to court must realize that the duty of the expert is to the court, not to the person who is employing them. And unfortunately, in this case, the whole case was made much more difficult and much more, I suppose, harrowing for the Duffys by virtue of the manner of the defense. And that is one of the egregious things in this case. The defendant expert essentially was utterly partisan, tried to really undermine and diminish and discredit the Duffys, but much to his own demise. The High Court and the Court of Appeal has drawn to the attention that anybody who is involved in litigation, and particularly when you're dealing with maybe insurance companies who have lots of funds versus you know, a person from West Donegal who doesn't, there is the opportunity perhaps for experts to be cherry-picked until you meet one who's going to say the right thing. And in this case, the court found that that was the case, that the Duffys were subject to a defence expert who was wholly unreliable, wholly discreditable, and utterly partisan. And the court ruled accordingly that that expert's evidence should be completely omitted from the court record, and sounded a warning to anybody involved in litigation that you must be very careful as to what expert you choose, and that that expert must be aware that his duty or her duty is to the court and not to the person who's paying him.